action. Let's kick off this hour, though, with a look at the market action. We've got Jason Dreho, UBS Global Wealth Management, Head of Asset Allocation Americas, joining us to dive in deeper into the moves here. Jason, let's just take a deep breath here to look back at this month, because it has certainly been a very choppy one, largely trading around the speculation around the rate hikes with the Fed. What do you see when you look back here, and how much choppiness is there to come?
So I think you're right that, you know, the story this year so far has been the Fed's hawkish pivot. It began last December. You know, the minutes at the beginning of the month were kind of a step in that direction. And then last week, the FOMC meeting, I think, kind of further kind of moved in that direction. So the move higher in rates, that's been sort of driving a bit of the pullback we've seen, especially in tech and growth stocks that are actually now, you know, fairly sensitive to higher rates. On top of that, you know, you have to put the move this year in context of what's happened in the past, you know, really 2 to 3 years, where equities have done very well. You know, the S&P was up 28% last year. So even the pullback that we had, at least as of Friday's close, of down 7%, it's still a very good performance if you think about it over the last 12 months. So I think some of it is just adjusting to this new reality of a Fed being a very different regime. Investors who are positioned one way now sort of readjusting their portfolios. And even on a day like today, where some of the balance we're seeing is probably a little bit of driven more by month-end sort of portfolio rebalancing, investors are feeling like maybe the pullback is for now is sort of over, is done. They're looking to buy some opportunities. So it's less about maybe new news today, but sort of taking advantage of some of the positioning. So I think it's really, it's been a Fed story, a rate story so far this year. On top of that, now I think it's kind of, you know, the Fed raising rates into an economy that appears to be slowing, at least temporarily. I think that's just created a little bit of anxiety among investors.
What do those trades tell you about the expectation for the Fed? You know, we started off the last hour by talking about Goldman Sachs now calling for 5 rate hikes this year. Certainly a lot of speculation about how quickly things could move. What do you see in the market right now in terms of expectations?
So what the market is pricing is 5 rate hikes. And I think what's happened is if you look across different economists and forecasters, they've kind of consolidated around that range of about 5 hikes. There's a few that are kind of on the higher end of the range, some even saying as many as 7. Not too many that are still in the 2 to 3 range, given how aggressive the Fed has been in terms of guiding that they need to do something. So to me, like 5 feels kind of appropriate. But I think it's also important to think that the Fed clearly feels like it's behind the curve. It wants to get started soon and move kind of pretty quickly. So I think March hike is you know, almost, you know, very certain unless something really bad happens with the data. We think June is almost also certain. May, I think, is a bit of a toss-up, but probably leaning in the direction of they want to maybe hike 3 times. Also announced the start of balance sheet reduction probably in May or June to begin no later than July. I think once they kind of get that lift off, though, I think the second half story is more about like assessing where is the economy, how much is inflation perhaps moderated at that point in time, have supply chains improved sufficiently, and has this move by the Fed really kind of started to tighten financial conditions? I think it's possible that we're actually almost at peak Fed hawkishness right now. They're trying to jawbone the markets that they're going to do a lot. They'll do a lot quickly and then maybe reassess once we get into the middle of the year, like how are things kind of playing out? And it's possible they could start to moderate at least some of the hawkishness as we move later into the year.
We've certainly seen a lot of de-risking happening this month, but you also pointed out there that there's also a sense here among investors that maybe we have overcorrected, especially in some of these high growth names. Where are you seeing the inflows when you talk about the moves in investors sort of reassessing their portfolio?
So I think so far it's been sort of selective. You know, it's often time when you get these big pullbacks, especially in a certain area of the market, like we've seen in tech and growth stocks, that you get a bit of the kind of the baby with the bathwater gets thrown out, and you realize when you kind of have, you know, calmer heads prevail that there's opportunities there that you kind of look over. So I think some of that is going on right now where people are selectively looking to add exposures, and there's still a little caution about the fundamental outlook. So people are kind of, you know, apprehensive of adding too much risk. But I think even compared to today versus say a week ago where people were very much in the mood of like, this could be a short-term balance, I think you're feeling some fundamental investors feeling a little more comfortable to start to selectively add risk, but do it at a more measured pace as opposed to, you know, last year, for example, anytime there's a pullback, any sort of dip was bought and bought pretty aggressively. I don't think we'll see that this time, at least not yet, just given some of the uncertainty still about the data.
Where does geopolitics fall into your assessment? Certainly, we had a guest on in our last hour who was talking about oil prices moving even higher at $100 a barrel, even without any conflict in Ukraine, a potential invasion from Russia. How big of a risk do you see that as in terms of it being a market event?
So, you know, typically when we get sort of these geopolitical tensions, it certainly gets a lot of headline risk, but ultimately it ends up being not very market moving, or it does for a day or two, but, you know, the market's going to look past because ultimately you try and trace it back to what is the economic implication of what's happening? And you know, in most cases, the economic impact is quite minor. Now, what makes the Ukraine-Russia situation more relevant to the markets right now is that oil prices are now like $90, a little bit higher. Oil supply is constrained. I mean, there's not a lot of spare capacity to kind of ramp up. Demand is increasing. So any sort of disruptions in potential supply could cause prices to go even higher. So I think that's a risk even without anything escalating in the middle or in Ukraine. But if that starts to go to like $100 or more, then I think it starts to become more impactful for the markets, because now you start to see some sort of demand destruction, consumer spending elsewhere might be impacted. And so I think there's not a lot of scope for or margin for error in terms of the supply side. Anything that escalates in the Ukraine or causes disruptions in Russian supply could probably cause prices to go higher. So I think that's where this is a little bit different. I think the geopolitical situation itself is sort of a second order importance to the market.
Jason Dreho, UBS Global Wealth Management, Head of Asset Allocation Americas. Good to have you on. Thank you.